Good morning. It's 6 a.m. on Friday, June 24th. This is Morning Ireland with Cathal McCullough in London, Keelan Shanley in Belfast and Audrey Carvel in Dublin as campaigners for a British exit from the EU celebrate victory.
Let June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day.
Seismic result, the UK has voted leave. Already the divisions are clear, with Northern Ireland and Scotland both voting to remain. The pound has plummeted. So what does this mean for the UK, for Ireland and for the future of the EU? We will have political and economic analysis and reaction from Dublin, London and Belfast.
Good morning. The headlines. With nearly all the votes counted in the UK referendum on EU membership, the vote to leave is at 52%. The vote to remain, 48%. A majority of voters in Scotland want to...
And really, when an awful lot of people will have gone to bed last night, they wouldn't have been expecting this. You have to remember that immediately as those polls closed last night, you sensed that the internal polling for the Leave camp was suggesting that they really thought that the Remain side was going to do it. But those figures changed very, very dramatically overnight. We started to see major swings towards the Leave side.
You think you'll see the reintroduction of a hard border with border controls?
No, we won't. And, I mean, first of all, the Irish government has said they will keep the common travel area and they will fight to keep the common travel area. The UK government says that they wish to have the common travel area maintained. All of the parties in the Assembly say that they wish to have the common travel area maintained. And just as there is no problem at present with people entering the Irish Republic and then going through the Irish Republic into the United Kingdom, why should there be any difficulty in the future? The Irish Republic is not going to leave the, not going to join the Schengen area. They will still keep the controls on their ports, which they have at present, because that's for their own safety as well as our safety. So we're not going to see machine gun posts, minefield, guards, dogs, or anything like that.
Sammy Wilson there speaking to our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman. And Tommy's with me now in studio, as is Sam McBride, political correspondent with the newsletter. Tommy, very interesting listening to Sammy Wilson. No chance of a hard border being reintroduced. Can he be confident of that? Does anyone actually know at this point what it means?
Would that matters were so simple. I think you've put your finger on it. Does anybody know? This is completely unknown territory. And I think if you look at, say, the reaction of Sinn Féin saying that the British government has lost its mandate to be in charge of Northern Ireland, that's the knee-jerk reaction from a Sinn Féin that was just getting used to a new partnership administration with the DUP. And all that coziness is now up in the air, blown out of the water. They're all facing huge uncertainties and they're dealing with the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, who, in my view, is toast. He's not even, you couldn't call him a lame duck anymore. As I'd see it, he's toast after this result. So what you have, north, south, east and west,
was mentioning contingency planning in Dublin and Belfast for what has happened, British departure from the European Union. There are, in fact, that we know of, two bodies looking at this, internal bodies, an interdepartmental committee of civil servants headed by the Department of the Taoiseach, which is probably meeting, if not now, I'd imagine fairly shortly in Dublin, to look at the implications of all this. That has been in place since last year when David Cameron was re-elected as British Prime Minister on a promise of holding a referendum, which of course took place yesterday. There's also an external body which connects the government with bodies like IBEC and the Congress of Trade Unions and other bodies like that. But we'll hear more about that later in the programme. Let's come back to the British angle on this. What has happened, what's clear so far about who has voted, and also the big question as to why. We're joined again by Ben Page of Ipsos MRBI, who was with us yesterday morning. Ben Page, good morning.
Good morning. What an interesting 24 hours, to put it mildly.
That's one word for it. What's clear to you about what has happened and what the figures are? The broad breakdown is 52% for leaving, 48% for staying. But other than that, what's clear to you?
Well, I think what's clear is that Britain is divided. And what we've seen is what we want, and what nearly all the experts, pundits, forecasters, and of course, pollsters just didn't see, is this working class vote coming out to vote when often they don't, and not going to the status quo as they did in Scotland, but very clearly voting for leave. And, that has been a massive surprise. Yesterday I was with you saying it was 52 for stay, it's 52 for leave. You know, these polls have margins of error in them, but we have a lot of work to do. But what is coming through, though, is the stuff that we can see underneath all of this, that immigration has been the number one issue that the British public have talked about for the last few years. They were voting on that and not the economy. And looking back at our polls, what we can see is that only 14% of people said they believed George Osborne's statement about the economic consequences of Brexit. And I just hope that they're right.
The obvious possibility.
Welcome back to Morning Ireland. 52% of the vote has gone to the Leave campaign, 48% to the Remain. So the UK has voted to leave the European Union. The very future of the United Kingdom is under threat now because the Scottish First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has promised a referendum on Scottish independence. Martin McGuinness wants a border poll on Irish unity. We're joined now from Scotland by journalist, author and historian David Torrance. We're also joined here in studio by Sinn Féin's Matt Carty and on the phone by Fine Gael's Mairead McGuinness, two MEPs, of course. David, first of all, Scottish independence, is that a real possibility, inevitability now?
I'm not a fan of the term inevitable. It's certainly moved back up the agenda. After the Scottish Parliament election last month, it appeared to be off the agenda for the foreseeable future, 5 years or more. But we now have, of course, what's referred to as material change. And it was quite clearly stated in the SNP manifesto that if that transpired, so clearly Scotland voting to remain in the EU, but the rest of the UK voting to come out, of course, accepting Northern Ireland, that would constitute the basis for another referendum. But it's not as simple as it seems. All of the difficult issues that existed 2 years ago, currency...
Impact immediately on sterling. It has dropped to its lowest level in over 30 years, worse than 2007, worse than 1992. Sterling is back at 1985 levels. The Bank of England has just issued a statement. It says it is monitoring developments closely. It has undertaken extensive contingency planning. It's working closely with HM Treasury, other domestic authorities and overseas central banks. The Bank of England will take all necessary steps to meet its responsibilities for monetary and financial stability. That just in from the Bank of England. We'll hear from Dundalk Chamber of Commerce.
So it's a disaster. I'm also thinking of the people who work in Dundalk and who live in the north at the moment. They've now effectively seen a 10% tax being imposed on them because what they earn this week is 10% less when they bring the money. It's very, very hard for people to understand just how seismic the shock is going to be. And we're now looking at a hard border. What that means, we don't know, but it's going to be difficult to work out how to work these things.
It is, and that's the problem. Very few people know what's going to happen. There are so many unknowns. But in terms of the border, I mean, are you anticipating physical customs checks along the border again?
If you see the motorway, I can't see how that can be done, quite honestly, unless you actually close the motorway. It's not physically possible to do so. I don't know how they're going to work out the mechanics of it, because the road infrastructure and the rail infrastructure that's been built over the last 20 years did not take that into account. There was no allowance for that. I mean, if you travel from Dundalk to Newry...
The British Foreign Secretary, Philip Hammond, has said that voters have spoken clearly and his government's job was to get on with that decision. This is to leave the European Union, protecting the economy, he said, and doing all we can to get the best outcome for Britain. In the last few minutes, our reporter Stephen Murphy, who's outside the Houses of Parliament here in Westminster, spoke to Suzanne Evans, who's a board member of the Vote Leave campaign, obviously very satisfied with the result, and this was her reaction.
Absolutely delighted. This is a fantastic new opportunity for Britain, a new era of democracy, of freedom, of international trade and cooperation. The British people absolutely made the right decision. We can now go forward. Our country can be bigger and stronger than ever. Delighted.
What do you think was the key motivating factor behind this vote?
In a sense, you know, I think it was government failure. I think the way in which the government threw absolutely everything they had at this, from spending £9.2 million on a leaflet that they'd said they wouldn't have, to their Project Fear, to their threats about recession.
And in the last few minutes, we have finally now the official full result of the UK's referendum on EU membership. And the result is 52% voting in favour of leaving, 48% voting in favour of staying, on a turnout of 72%. To assess, we're joined by Matthew Goodwin, Professor of Politics at the University of Kent. Good morning, Professor. You've described this as the elites lining up with a dry message and the British voters saying no thanks. So how do you read the implications?
Well, looking at the results as they were coming in overnight, it's very clear that Britain is very divided on this question, and that the economically disadvantaged, mainly white English working class, have delivered a very powerful message to Westminster and EU elites that they're very concerned over immigration and that they don't want Britain to be in the European Union. If you just look at where Brexit really recruited the bulk of its support, it was down the east coast of England in communities where the average wage is much lower than the average, and also in the northeast, northwest, and the Midlands.
For the financial fallout, let's hear now from financial analyst in the City in London, Louise Cooper. Good morning, and thanks for taking
morning.
The call. Could you just sum up for us, first of all, the picture? What has changed? What has fallen? What, if anything, is up?
Chaos. Gappy, lacking liquidity, utter chaos. I've spoken to one FX strategist and her trading team this morning that said, we're all very tired and emotional. Another one said, we're just in shock. Sterling, the moves in sterling have been utterly extraordinary. We got up to 150 against the dollar last night when the Remain campaign looked like it was going to win. Then we gapped down to 130. That's an enormous move. That's a 10% move in like hours. We've had a little bit of a rally since, but a 10% move sterling versus the dollar is utterly huge. Against the
My point throughout the campaign was that we had to have an alternative to austerity. We had to have greater resources going into areas where there's been huge changes, and I strongly called for the introduction of a migrant impact fund, as well as proper funding of local authorities.
The Leader of the Opposition here at Westminster speaking a short time ago, and the Prime Minister due to speak at 8:15, as we heard. Tim Bale, what do you make of this?
Well, I think the result clearly is a huge blow for David Cameron, but it is also, to be honest, a blow for Jeremy Corbyn as well. It's quite clear that if any party's voters decided this election, this referendum, it was in some way Labour voters. And it seems as if areas where Labour has had MPs for decades and decades voted very, very strongly against the European Union. And I think...
Do you think for the working relationships within Stormont at this point?
Well, I'm very conscious
Martin McGuinness, I'm sorry, I'm going to hold you there. I am just seeing now David Cameron has come to the podium.
The country has just taken part in a giant democratic exercise, perhaps the biggest in our history. Over 33 million people from England.
It's been a dramatic morning. The United Kingdom has voted to leave the European Union by a majority of 52%. Within the past half an hour, David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, has announced his intention to resign. He said he hopes a new Prime Minister will be in place in the United Kingdom by the time the Tory Party conference takes place in October. There's carnage on the markets. All the markets across Europe, when they opened at 8 o'clock, fell dramatically, including the Dublin stock market, down by 16.5%. That was about 15 minutes ago. Sterling has suffered its biggest drop in 30 years. Let's get some reaction now from Danny McCoy. He's chief executive of the employers body IBEC. Also with us in studio, Edgar Morgenroth, who's a research professor with the ESRI. Danny McCoy, your thoughts now, where we are at this moment?
Well, look, this is a shock. We certainly hope that Britain would remain, because I think that would give certainty to all of us. And they really are a significant trading partner, but they're also important in the kind of style that they bring to the European Union, which is much more favourable to the business model we have here. However, I think it is important to say that, you know, nothing has changed in the short term. And I think Prime Minister Cameron has indicated it'll be October before they even initiate it. So for Irish businesses today, the relationships that they have with their suppliers in Britain and so on remain the same.
But Sterling,
I think was predictable, though. And in fact, I think what we should do is be calm and see if it's still the same place in 2 weeks' time. Stock markets.
Look, we are well prepared for this. Her Majesty's Treasury and the Bank of England have engaged in extensive contingency planning, and the Chancellor and I have remained in close contact, including through the night and this morning.
Mark Carney of the Bank of England speaking a short time ago. I'm joined here in our London studio now by historian Heather Jones of the LSE, one of the many, many EU citizens, and let's remember Irish citizens are going to be affected. Now, everybody's saying, the Prime Minister is saying, no immediate change, Heather Jones. But how do you see the impact of what has happened already?
Well, I think what's important to note is that throughout the entire referendum debate, the Leave side stated very clearly that they weren't going to take any action towards EU nationals living in the UK already. So that's quite an important point to make. However, down the line, a lot's going to depend on the kind of deal that Britain gets with the single market.
Tony in Brussels, what's the reaction coming out of there this morning?
Well, one of shock and dismay, I suppose, is the best way of summing it up. The formal statement from Donald Tusk, the president of the European Council, has, I suppose, captured the mood, recognising the result, admitting that it's not the result they wanted, but trying very quickly to reaffirm the notion that the EU is irrevocable. That will be the watchword today, I think, in Brussels. But also notably saying that everything he is now speaking on behalf of the EU 27. So already Cameron has been cut out of the equation. There will be a special meeting of the EU 27, not the EU 28, on the margins of the summit next week. And the message is that, you know, the European project will continue. Donald Tusk said it was not a fair weather project. Now, all of this really is a holding pattern at the moment. The big question is, what posture will they adopt towards the UK in the next couple of years?
David Davenport, it's not the result the Irish government wanted either, David. They campaigned for a Remain vote. Do they have a plan?
Well, talking to a couple of ministers already this morning, the implications are immediate and negative from their point of view. The fall in sterling has already meant Ireland is more expensive for tourists coming from Britain, and the tens of thousands of workers whose goods are exported to the UK are being paid less for their produce already. And one casualty, I think, of all this uncertainty is likely to be any hint of budget generosity from Michael Noonan in the autumn. I'm sure he's going to be pulling in his horns now. The fiscal space is likely to be more jealously guarded. And for Enda Kenny, of course, the challenge will be to build relations with David Cameron's successor. And more importantly, Mr. Kenny will have to persuade his colleagues in Europe not to make an example of the UK, to make it difficult for them. And speaking privately to the Taoiseach, it's pretty clear he knows that he faces an uphill task. So just as he came into office facing the challenge of our own economic meltdown, it looks this morning like Enda Kenny's performance on his departure from office is going to be measured against how he deals with what's arguably the biggest Anglo-Irish political upheaval of a generation.
Thank you all. Over to you, Keelan.
Thanks, Audrey. Well, just time for a final word from our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman here. Tommy, you predicted accurately around 6 o'clock that David Cameron would be gone by the end of the programme. What is next for Northern Ireland at this point?
David Cameron, after he was elected, he thought he was invincible. He made a bad call. He suffered the consequences. One big brick gone. What they all have to try and do is stop the meltdown now. Elections due in France, elections due in Germany, elections due in the United States. They have to find some new political mechanism to stop the trouble, to stop the fall in the value of sterling. It's going to be extremely difficult. This is uncertainty that people hadn't scheduled into their thinking.
And specifically in the North, the notion of a border poll, we heard Martin McGuinness calling for one earlier.
A distraction. That's all it would be. They have much more practical problems. Foreign direct investment, EU funding, relationships within a government where the majority of people have voted for staying in the European Union. Really, really difficult challenges.
OK, well, Tommy, we'll be hearing lots more from you over the course of the day, but thank you very much indeed for that.